leading a bipartisan group of lawmakers in calling for the SEC to investigate Robinhood and other financial institutions for their unprecedented and harmful actions against individual investors. Wall Street shouldn't get to play by a different set of rules. GME.
This is a story that's going to stay with us for a while, Ahmed, and I'm sure you'll be following it for us. Let's go all the way down under now, and a gang of Australian neo-Nazis threatening to do what neo-Nazis do.
Yeah, so on Australia Day, which is a controversial day celebrated by some Australians of when Australia was quote-unquote found, even though there was already indigenous Aboriginal people living in Australia for thousands of years before the European settlers ever set foot on there. Now this has caused some outrage because around 30 men burned crosses, called themselves the Australian Ku Klux Klan, made chants about the white race being superior, and it's caused, as you can imagine, a bit of an uproar on social media. But some people are starting to make other points and saying that when a country doesn't come to terms with its own history, When it talks about a day where the indigenous people of Australia were ethnically cleansed, where crimes against humanity were committed against them, where it was essentially an invasion by a European settler colonial entity to take over the land, to take over the resources, when that history is never really acknowledged or taught about in the right way, then of course you're going to get people from that country that think that the white race is superior and that white supremacy is the way forward. Now there have been some tweets condemning these men and what they represent, and some are saying that actually the Christchurch shooter himself was Australian, and that Australia and that part of the world needs to come to terms with a rising threat from the neo-Nazis. So Anti versus Evil says, Australia, we have a problem. This is a neo-Nazi gathering in regional Victoria. The New Zealand shooter who killed 51 people was an Australian born in Grafton, NSW, and Aussie PM Morrison does nothing. Drew says, they've always been here, but since the Reclaim Australia days, they've been constantly reinventing themselves, each time denying they are Nazis a little less, till now finally they fully admit it.
Well, Ahmed, we'll have to see what Australian authorities will do about these people. Ahmed Kabbalah with those stories. Ahmed, thank you. And that's all the time we have for this broadcast. Thanks. Goodbye for now.
The Limelight.
Data show that rural residents across the U.S. are less likely to receive a flu shot than residents of the metropolitan areas. In this regard, we have prepared an article for you written by Elizabeth Miller, researcher. This article is published under the heading, Rural U.S. is seriously short on resources needed to distribute vaccine. Stay tuned for the details, please. As the United States begins its massive vaccine rollout, health departments across the country are scrambling to plan and adjust, often while simultaneously managing a surge in new COVID-19 cases. Additionally, data showed that rural residents are less likely to receive a flu shot than residents of metropolitan areas. This trend, combined with the reluctance of rural communities to embrace coronavirus mitigation measures, has some experts worried. Think about a person who needs to drive 1 hour for a shot, then do the same 20 days later for a second shot, said Diego Quadros, a professor of health, geography, and disease modeling at the University of Cincinnati. If it's a person who maybe doesn't think this is too important or has some mispreparation or misinformation about vaccines, this is going to be extremely challenging. Ultimately, Quadros and others worry that the virus might linger in pockets of rural America, from which it could re-emerge into the broader population, compromising efforts to get the virus under control. To prevent this, healthcare workers are starting with a public information campaign, while state health departments are encouraging pharmacies to run outreach clinics and set up new sites for vaccinations. Currently, the most pressing issue facing less populated areas is how to store and administer vaccines before they lose their effectiveness. The messenger RNA technology used to develop the two vaccines that have received approval in the U.S. so far requires that they both be kept cold. Purchasing super cold storage equipment is costly and demands a higher voltage outlet, said Eric Tichy, Vice Chair of Supply Chain Management for the Mayo Clinic. Stock of that equipment, particularly of the size that would be appropriate for the smaller pharmacies and clinics, is also simply sold out. That may leave many of them leaning on container and dry ice refills. With 237 vaccines in development on the World Health Organization's list of candidates, the future will likely include vaccines that tolerate warmer temperatures. The bigger challenge Tichy sees is that once a vaccine vial is opened, staff have just 6 hours to use all 5 or 10 doses it contains. It's a precious resource, he said. You don't want to just give it to 2 people and have to throw out the rest of the contents. You want to get 5 people vaccinated. The first wave of inoculations targets healthcare workers and residents in long-term care facilities, so there is a central location at which vaccines can reach them. For vaccinating the public at large, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has partnered with large national pharmacy chains as well as networks of small regional chains and independent pharmacies. The Rural Policy Research Institute at the University of Iowa found 750 counties nationwide with no partnership pharmacies, and another 334 with just one such pharmacy. The majority of states have at least one county without a partnership pharmacy, and large swathes of Kansas, Montana, Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Texas, and smaller chunks of Colorado, Nevada, New Mexico, and Utah reported no partnered pharmacies. In some states, that hasn't presented much of a hurdle. Independent pharmacies have procured doses of the vaccines and done well administering them, but rates vary widely from state to state. Rural communities often run short on resources, whether it's cold storage facilities or a population of retired nurses and doctors to tap to help administer vaccines, he added. The geography can also compound the disparities in access that affect racial minorities. Kim Atwater, who owns 2 pharmacies in rural New Mexico towns, decided that for now it doesn't make sense to order doses of the vaccines. We don't have refrigeration facilities to keep it, she said. We're just a very, very small community. In rural areas, the lack of pharmacies and major medical centers means that much of the vaccination effort is falling to local health clinics like the one in Mora. We know it's a cardinal sin to waste a dose, and we are not trying to be wasteful. Unwillingness to get vaccinated may also present a hurdle, a doctor said. While some national surveys report growing numbers saying they will take a COVID-19 vaccine when it becomes available to them, Quadro said he hasn't seen that data broken down between rural and urban respondents. Data that tracked vaccination rates for influenza shows them much lower in rural areas. Ottawater conversations with locals suggest that pattern may carry over to the new vaccines. There is a lot of people who are just saying, oh, I'm not getting that, she said. We hear a lot of that. No, not until there is more testing done on it. Mora bucked trends this fall by making flu vaccination more convenient. Her clinic offered drive-through clinics, welcomed walk-ins, sent staff to patients' homes, and even invited a UPS driver to receive a shot after dropping off packages at the clinic. As a result, they administered 400 flu vaccines compared to roughly 250 last year. A poll showed only 29 of about 86 clinic staff were immediately interested in taking the vaccine.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Spiritual message of Islam.
His door is open no matter who you are. Just take the first step, you'll see it's not so far. If we all open our eyes to see, he is all that we need right now. And we can all come together somewhere, somehow.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah al-Aliyy al-Azim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Wa ala alihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin, la siyama baqiyatillahi fil-aradin. عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره وشيعته. The last point we've been discussing was that community of Ahlul Bayt is a community which is built around the truth and is trying to be always at the service of truth. And we want to continue this and address another important quality, and that is unity. Interestingly, in the Quran you find a close link between being truthful and united. It is only truth that can unite a community, because truth is always one. If you all try to serve the truth, there is no way to be divided, there is no way to fight. As soon as we forget the truth, when we start thinking about our own interest, our own ego, then divisions start and there is no end. In Surah Anbiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Anbiya 92, إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُونَ. Our ulama say, this is an address to the prophets. Allah's plan was that all prophets with all the followers must be one united community. Unfortunately, then people even use this as a reason to be divided. You follow this prophet, I follow that prophet. So we started fighting. Then among the followers of the same prophet, then I started fighting. Then even among the people who are in the same mazhab, then they start fighting. Shaitan is not happy with any limit. If Shaitan can, you know, make you fight inside your family, makes you fight. Because unity is very much annoying Shaitan. Shaitan always wants to divide. You know, one of the things that you find in the Quran is Shaitan and satanic people always divide. Fir'aun جعل أهلها شيعة. شيعة is different from شيعة. شيعة means scattered groups. So Shaitan and his people always divide. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always unites. هو الذي, Allah says in the Quran, this is very beautiful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He is the one who united your heart. وَالَّذِي أَيَّدَكَ بِنَصْرِهِ وَبِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah is the one who helped you by giving you support and by giving you mu'mineen. Mu'mineen were great support for Rasulullah. When you have mu'mineen present, then you have great support. You don't know how important it is when you come to such gatherings, how much honor this gives to the community of Ahlul Bayt when tens and hundreds and thousands of people gather every night together. This gives us strength. This gives Rasulullah happiness. وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ غُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah is the one who united the hearts. لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ غُلُوبِهِمْ. If you were giving everyone some vouchers, so that, you know, they love each other, they would not be united. If you give them all the money, ma fil arz, if you spend everything on the earth to bring people together, they would not come together. Money cannot unite people. It is love for Allah and for the sake of Allah that can unite people. And Shaitan is very angry when these people are getting together. I should do something. First, I stop them coming together. But if I cannot stop them coming together, so I go when they are there, try bring hatred and dislike and division. This is Shaitan. He's never, you know, satisfied.
Oh, what a wonderful world this would be if we all open our eyes to see. He is all that we need right now, and we can all come together somewhere, somehow. His door is open no matter who you are. Just take the first step, you'll see it's not so far. Down this road that holds all the answers. Open your heart to something greater. His holy book speaks pure and true. Always tells us what we must do. His last prophet was sent as a guide, an example by which we abide. There is salvation for those who seek to find the one and only source of peace and understanding of why we are here, who created us, who we must fear. So what a wonderful world this would be if we all opened our eyes to see. He is all that we need right now, and we can all come together somewhere, somehow.
لو أنفقت ما في الأرض جميعا ما ألفت بين قلوبهم ولكن الله ألف بينهم. It is Allah who has united their hearts. We have to be very grateful that Allah has united our hearts. Alhamdulillah, here we have people who have come here. They love each other. They support each other. All is because of Allah's favor upon us. Allah also says, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. You all need one center for unity, and that is Hablullah, the divine rope, that is Quran, that is truth. You should all grasp and hold on to it. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Do not be divided. Now that you have been given, Alhamdulillah, Islam, you have been given guidance of Ahlul Bayt, you know everything. Why you are divided? وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. You were all enemies. Allah brought you together. Allah united your heart. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. Because of Allah's blessing, you have become brothers and sisters. We are not brothers and sisters in blood or genetic, but we are brothers and sisters in iman, which is much more important than brother or sister of blood. Habil and Gabil were brothers from the same parents, but that was not stopping Qabil harming his brother. But two brothers of Iman never harm each other, never wish bad for each other. Therefore, now I want to move on to the relation that should exist between the members of the community of Ahlul Bayt. So a community which is truthful and therefore united, the members are in maximum friendship and unity with each other. We have many, many hadiths about the love, about the support that should be between the brothers and sisters in faith, between mu'mineen, between the lovers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam.
That was The Characters of Shia Community by Hujjatul Islam, Dr. Shomali, in the program The Spiritual Message of Islam.
I'm looking back throughout the years to breathe as hard, and my eyes are choked with tears. Your face and hair are full of light. Now it will soon be time to go. I feel you feeling calm now. Did the angel let you know?
O Allah, please send your salutations to Muhammad and all Muhammad. O Allah, please forgive us. Please forgive all our sins and mistakes and shortcomings. Please enable us to serve you with full honesty and truthfulness and sincerity. Please include us among the best followers of Muhammad and all Muhammad. Please protect and safeguard our community and our families and our youths from everything that you don't like. O Allah, please hasten the reappearance of Imam Zaman Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. Please make our Imam Zaman happy with what we do and what we say. Please answer his du'as for his faraj. Please give shifa to all people who are ill. Please give shifa to people who are ill in their body and in their soul. Oh Allah, please send your rahmah, your forgiveness to all who have passed away, especially brothers and sisters who were attending these majalis in this community and other communities. Our parents, our foreparents, our teachers, our ulama, our maraji, those who have passed away. Please let them be with Muhammad and Ali Muhammad right now. And please give long life and blessed life to the parents and to the teachers and maraji who are alive. Oh Allah, please make the last moment of our life the best moment of our life. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
My ummah, he will say, Rasulullah on that day, even though we've strayed from him and his way. My brothers, my sisters in Islam, let's struggle, work and pray. If we are to bring back the glory of his way. Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.
Food for thought.
Everyone, and let us ponder on prophetic remarks of Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, the Immaculate Daughter of the Almighty's last and greatest messenger, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. I am from the brightness of Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, knowing all past and future events till the day of judgment.
Arabi English Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to Arabi English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Arabi English Radio.
Hello everyone and welcome to The Light. A hotel in a ski resort in Kashmir has come up with a creative idea to keep its visitors warm and amused in the winter. The Kalahoy Green Heights has an igloo cafe where tourists can enjoy hot drinks and food in sub-zero temperatures. All the tables in the Eskimo-style cafe are made of ice and snow. As many as 16 people can sit and chill out in the igloo at any given time. The Icy Cafe is 25 feet around. It has elements of local architecture like an arched door and patterns on the curved walls.
The Russian firm has developed a flying taxi in an attempt to solve the problem of transportation in megacities. According to Harvestsurf company, testing the aircraft is now in the final stages. If successful, the drone taxi will go into mass production at the end of 2021. Special runways are not required as the vehicle is as big as a normal car and can land on a parking lot. Designers say it's capable of carrying two people or up to 300 kilograms of cargo.
The prototype of this flying machine will soon turn into a social device that we're going to build in 2021, and thus all the technologies that we have already built will be applied to this machine. The car will fly with a new type of engine that is installed here.
The flying taxi can reach an altitude of 150 meters and develop a speed of up to 200 kilometers per hour. The company says a flight with air taxi will cost around 27 cents per kilometer. The name Afghanistan may remind many people across the world of some bad news of war, violence and poverty. This is mainly due to the war in Afghanistan, which has been going on for over the past decades. Yet there are some interesting stories about Afghanistan, its people and their traditions and customs, such as Afghans' food culture. Amin Alami has more in this report.
When it comes to cooking and traditional dishes, Afghans have a lot to say. First of all, this is important to know that meat and rice are inseparable parts of Afghans' food culture.
Afghan traditional dishes like qabili, kebab, karai, mantu, ashak, bulani, and dugh are the some you can find available in restaurants, mainly serving traditional delicacies. Each one of these represents the food culture of specific tribes and ethnic groups.
Let's see what the manager of this restaurant has to say about some popular local dishes in Afghanistan.
When you want to talk about traditional foods of Afghanistan, you need to test different dishes that are, of course, very delicious. For instance, qabili is a mixture of rice, carrot, cuisine, and lamb meat. Northern Afghanistan is a home to this delicious food, while Western Herat province is well known for its delicious khichdi.
There are some key factors which should be taken into consideration when talking about Afghan food culture. As Afghans themselves say, their food is highly organic. They believe the food culture has made Afghans' bodies much stronger than those who do not have organic meals and their food culture.
We can't leave out meat from cooking. Additionally, our food culture is based on using organic products. This has even helped us have a stronger body.
As there is a wide variety of delicious dishes here, the good news is that the prices are not high. For example, you can serve a complete lunch menu at one of the top restaurants in Kabul by spending at most $15.
If you compare food prices in Afghanistan and other countries, you will find out that you can have the best dish in a top restaurant in Afghanistan by paying less than $20. The quality of food in our country is also better.
As observers say, Afghanistan has many capabilities and interesting attractions to be truly introduced for the globe if the war and politics allow this wounded land to breathe. Sayed Amin Alami, Kabul.
After nearly 3 years of conservation efforts, a group of newborn leaf monkeys have been recently spotted in southwest China. The rare monkeys, which fall under China's first-class national protection program, were spotted earlier this month in Mangshi City in Yunnan province. The baby monkeys sport golden fur, which will gradually turn gray when they are about 3 months old. Forest keepers have been noting an increase in the number of monkeys and expect their population to continue growing as biodiversity is improving.
Since the beginning of this year, we have spotted 11 little golden monkeys and several pregnant adult monkeys. It can be estimated that the number of these golden newborns will increase to around 20 by April.
Leaf monkeys are spread across western Yunnan as well as in eastern and northern Myanmar. Over the past few years, Yunnan's local government has strengthened protection for the animals. It's estimated there are now approximately 400 leaf monkeys in Mangshi.
A French-Swiss artist spray paints a huge fresco on the grounds of Cape Town as part of a global project
aimed at fostering unity in a polarized world. The 31-year-old artist tries to convey his message of togetherness in his movement called Beyond Walls. The project consists of frescoes depicting two hands clasping each other's forearms around the world. South Africa's Cape Town represents an essential step of the project due to its history marked by apartheid. The self-taught artist says he wants to create the biggest human chain in the world, and Cape Town is his ninth step.
Because for me, I really trust that it's only together that humanity can respond to the biggest challenge of our time. And this is this message that I want to do by making huge fresco with biodegradable paint directly on the grass. It is a worldwide project, and the idea is to create the biggest human chain to speak about togetherness. And today in Cape Town, this is the ninth step of this project.
Saib uses paint made out of charcoal, chalk, water, and milk proteins to create his art, making it eco-friendly. He was also named one of the most influential young artists by Forbes magazine for his art, which is best viewed from aerial footage. His temporary biodegradable images have been previously painted on lawns in 8 cities, including Paris, Andorra, Geneva, Berlin, Ouagadougou, and Istanbul.
Scientists have discovered a 20-million-year-old fossilized tree with intact branches and roots on the Greek island of Lesbos. The 19-meter-long tree was found near a petrified forest formed millions of years ago by a volcanic eruption. A thick layer of ash had preserved the tree. Since excavations began 25 years ago, this is the first time a tree in such proper condition has been uncovered in the area. Experts have been studying the unique forest to gather information of plants and animals and reconstruct the ecosystem that existed 20 million years ago.
In Slovenia, two climbers have dared to scale Europe's tallest chimney. Janja Granbrej and Damen Skofic managed to complete the challenge in 7 hours and 32 minutes. They described the experience as the most difficult one in their professional lives. The 360-meter-high tower at the Trebaville Power Station is located in eastern Slovenia. It is known as the world's longest artificial multi-pitch climbing route.
Oh, isn't this sweet? A baby panda gluing to her zookeeper's leg has grabbed attention on social media, with her video receiving at least 4 million hits on YouTube alone. 6-month-old Fu Bao lives in a South Korean zoo. Her video went viral, showing the cub gripping her keeper's leg during a regular checkup. The cute panda refused to let the keeper go, even when he tried to walk away. Fu Bao is the first giant panda born in South Korea. Her parents arrived in the country in 2016 as part of China's panda diplomacy. Fu Bao has received enormous attention since her birth, with her videos posted on the zoo's social media. Elephants at a zoo in the U.S. state of Arizona have enjoyed a rare snowy day, romping joyfully under the white flurry. While most of animals in Ryde Park Zoo cozied up in the warmth, the elephants could not resist the snowfall in the sun-kissed state. They stayed out, with baby elephants splashing in their enclosure's pond and rolling in the mud. The baby elephants saw the snowfall for the first time in their life. Frosty flakes made their way to Arizona on Tuesday. That was a surprise for many in the U.S. West, which is plagued by drought.
That's it for the life. Thank you.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah,
the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, salam and welcome to this program. Today's a special from IRIB English Radio. Today's topic is about anniversary of leader's letter to youth in West. In January 2015, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, issued an open letter to the youth in Europe and North America, urging them to study about Islam and to get first-hand information about it before accepting their government's propaganda.
In the name of God, the Beneficent, the Merciful, to the youth in Europe and North America. The recent events in France and similar ones in some other Western countries have convinced me to directly talk to you about them. I am addressing you, the youth, not because I overlook your parents. Rather, it is because the future of your nations and countries will be in your hands. And also I find that the sense of quest for truth is more vigorous and attentive in your hearts. I don't address your politicians and statesmen either in this writing, because I believe that they have consciously separated the root of politics from the path of righteousness and truth. I would like to talk to you about Islam, particularly the image that is presented to you as Islam. Many attempts have been made over the past 2 decades, almost since the disintegration of the Soviet Union, to place this great religion in the seat of a horrifying enemy. The provocation of a feeling of horror and hatred and its utilization has unfortunately a long record in the political history of the West. Here, I don't want to deal with the different phobias with which the Western nations have thus far been indoctrinated. A cursory review of recent critical studies of history would bring home to you the fact that the Western government's insincere and hypocritical treatment of other nations and cultures has been censured in new historiographies.
Today, Saturday, is the 16th of Jamadi al-Thani, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 11th of Bahman, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 30th of January 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's have a short look at Ayatollah Khamenei's letter to Western youth, amicable, full of advice. For many years, especially the past couple of years, a huge campaign against Islam has been launched through groups such as the ISIL terrorist group that use the name of Islam to disgrace this religion, which is still unknown to a large majority of people, even to a great number of Muslims. The guidance of Iran's leader was for the young group to use the internet and the multimedia to develop a critical analysis of Islam and find the answer to the question, why don't they ask their politicians about the oppression and usurpation of Palestinian rights in Palestine by the Israeli Zionists? Why do they speak always of the past dramatic events but keep silence about the aggressions and wars that they impose on Yemen, Afghanistan, and Syria? Actually, the anti-racism and anti-violence demonstrations reveal an old policy problem.
Hujjat al-Islam, Osama Abdul Ghani.
Why is it that before the letter was written by the leader, we weren't being encouraged to talk to others about Islam? Why is it that now that the letter has been written, you're telling everyone to speak to others about Islam and explain the part of Islam that they know to others? Is there a conflict in what we used to hear before from ulama and what we're hearing now? The short answer is no. There's no conflict. What happens is this. What we're not supposed to do is we're not supposed to say what we don't know about Islam. If I'm not sure if something is true, if I'm making ijtihad, giving my opinion on Islam, then that's something I want to be very worried about. What the verse of Quran tells us is this, قُلْ أَلَّا أَذِنَ لَكُمْ أَمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَفْتَرُونَ. You only have one of two choices. Either Allah has given you permission, أَذِنَ لَكُمْ, or you're fabricating lies against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't want to do that. The stuff that we do know about Islam, the stuff that we know is true about Islam, the basics of Islam, all of us know those things, and those things are true. If I want to go above and beyond that and start sharing my opinion on Islam, then I better make sure that my opinion is rock solid. Otherwise, obviously, one would need nerves of steel to be able to go and fabricate a lie against God and say things that are one's opinion and present that as Islam. So what are we encouraging brothers and sisters to do? What we're encouraging brothers and sisters to do is to say those parts of Islam which they do know, which are many. We do know that Allah is one. We do know that Allah, that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his messenger. We do know that Islam is for justice. What we do have access to is we have access to the works of scholars, speeches by scholars, things that senior ulama have told us. When we are taking those same things and then expressing them in our own words and telling people to get to know Islam through the original sources, to read from articles of ulama or hear presentations from ourselves, or we're sharing a hadith of the Ahlul Bayt with them, then there's nothing that conflicts with what we were told previously. So what we're not being encouraged to do is to do ijtihad, to start making our own opinions, to start telling people our version of Islam. What we are being encouraged to do is to get people, to encourage people to learn about Islam from the original sources themselves, to introduce righteous ulama. We are being told to share those ahadith, those actual statements of the Ahlul Bayt, and to say what we do know about Islam. If we do that, we've done our job.
Indeed, modern Western societies have been built by the exploitation and eradication of traditional cultures, disregarding people's moral values, which lead to the destruction of families, kindness, and morality in favor of financial profits in the hands of few rich people. So the young black people who have suffered injustice along with all the oppressed people around the world are now searching a way in their life, and they don't accept the injustice anymore. If they can find an ideology and a political system that brings the faith in humanity and its capacity to be just and honest, they will be hopeful. But the superpowers don't like this idea, because this will lead to their loss of control upon the people. They spend a lot of energy and money to weaken and mislead people through the media and almost to falsify the true Islam revealed by the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family. All those young black people in America and the young people in Europe, including those in France, as well as all those who have lost their original roots to assimilate themselves in Western modern societies, are searching for an identity, and they can find it in the true Islam if they try to know much more about this religion.
Receive knowledge of Islam from its primary and original sources. Gain information about Islam through the Quran and the life of its great prophet. I would like to ask you whether you have directly read the Quran of the Muslims. Have you studied the teachings of the Prophet of Islam and his humane ethical doctrines? Have you ever received the message of Islam from any sources other than the media? Have you ever asked yourself how, and on the basis of which values, has Islam established the greatest scientific and intellectual civilization of the world, and raised the most distinguished scientists and intellectuals throughout several centuries? I would like you not to allow the derogatory and offensive image buildings to create an emotional gulf between you and the reality. taking away the possibility of an impartial judgment from you.
This is today's special IRIB English Radio. Ayatollah Khamenei's letter to Western youth, amicable, full of advice. Youth and, of course, others should follow the advice of the leader of the Islamic Revolution to study Islam in a sincere and authentic manner, and on this basis shape a critical understanding of the tensions between the West and Islamic countries. With such an understanding, it would become possible to form strategies and tactics that reject both terrorism and Islamophobia. It would then also become possible to adopt appropriate policy adjustments in the West, starting with military disengagement from the Middle East. Yet this is not enough. Youth need to address common human problems as dramatized by the COVID-19 experience in a globally cooperative spirit and extend its vital concerns to climate change, global migration, poverty, international law, the UN, and the world peace.
Also, we're not told that explaining or teaching people about Islam becomes our entire profession and our everything in our lives. No, brothers and sisters are still performing all of their duties and leading to Islam through their actions before their words. So they're still working, they're still being mothers or fathers or husbands or wives. They're going to school, they are working at their jobs, they're being people of integrity, and yes, in the time that they have off, they'll maybe be making blogs, for instance. They'll be getting articles that are written by ulama that have been translated. They will be sharing the actual words of Islam and the teachings of Islam and those things which are musallam, they're established in Islam, and they'll be letting people know those things. So that is the part that we are encouraging people to do. But to say that I will now start giving my own opinion on Islam and then now I have to face those verses of Quran, and God forbid if somebody acts on those ahadith, right? Let's say I started a false tradition, then what happens? So what happens if we do start to do our own ijtihad, and God forbid people start to listen to us and follow us? The hadith talks, مَنْ سَنَّ سُنَّةً حَسَنَةً كَانَ لَهُ أَجْرُهَا وَأَجْرُ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهَا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. If someone starts a good tradition, if someone invites someone to Islam, if someone gets someone to start doing good actions, then that person gets reward by starting this good tradition. And those who act on this good tradition, the person who started the good tradition, they will get reward for that. Alhamdulillah. That's wonderful. I'm talking about things which are established in Islam, not my own opinion of Islam. Alhamdulillah, up until now, we don't have a problem. Let's say, God forbid, I start sharing my opinions, my ideas, what's wrong, what's right, things that are other than the musallamat of Islam. Then what happens? وَمَنْ سَنَّ سُنَّةً سَيِّئَةً. Whoever starts a bad tradition. I'm getting online, other people see me as a practicing Muslim, and now I'm sharing my version of Islam. Then what happens? Whoever starts this bad tradition, كَانَ عَلَيْهِ وِزْرُهَا. The burden of that bad tradition is borne by that person who started it. وَوِزْرُ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهَا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. And the burden of those who act on that bad tradition up until the Day of Judgment. I'm not advising anyone to start sharing their opinion of Islam, to start saying what they think is right and what they think is wrong. Rather, those things which are musallam, those things which are definite, those things which are established, and there's so many of them, and people need to know those things. So inshallah, brothers and sisters can keep in mind that responsibility, and this is a responsibility for brothers and sisters. This responsibility of getting people to know about Islam, what it is that Islam actually has to say, is something which brothers and sisters all can be participants in, and they should be participants in. But we don't want to give our own opinions about these things. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was a short look on Ayatollah Khamenei's letter to Western youth, amicable, full of advice, on today's special. Till another episode, may Allah protect all of you. Wassalamu alaikum.
Sometimes I can't see where I'm supposed to go. Sometimes I speed up when I should take it slow. But through all my hard times, when I lose my way, you're concealing my mistakes, yeah. I know you're always by my side, never turning out your light. When I need you most, your stars will shine. When I'm out there in the darkest place, worn and tired, I can still see you illuminate all my skies. When it feels like I've fallen too far from you, they are guiding me through.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.